You might be wondering what this phrase means. It comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, Titus 1, verse 9. It says, "Hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." So this presentation will concentrate on refuting the claims that there is no God, that the Bible is out of date, and that science has proved the Bible to be incorrect. Now, we who believe that God exists, that the Bible account is true and correct in every detail, should therefore have an answer which refutes those who oppose our beliefs. For 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, "All scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The veracity of the Bible will be examined under these following topics: the universe, evolution, Noah's flood, and archaeology. These areas are often in dispute in the minds of men, and as Christians we should have the necessary evidence and support to refute any opposers on these issues. Let's consider the universe. When we look into the night sky, we marvel at the stars that we see. Where did they come from? How did they get there? Every planet spins silently around in space according to its precise orbit. The astronomer Hipparchus in Alexandria, that was in 127 BC, he found that there were 1,000 stars in our universe. A little bit later on, Ptolemy put the number at 1,056. Today, on a clear night, it is possible to count something like 4,000 stars with the naked eye. But if we were to use the latest telescope, the number would grow to 10 to the power of 26 stars. That is, if we were to count 20 stars per second, that would amount to 100 million billion years in all, in order to count that number of stars. The universe contains countless millions of stars, suns, moons, supernovas, gas clouds, comets, planets, and galaxies. Our scientists will tell us that all these came about as a result of a huge Big Bang, about 50 billion years ago. The ancient Greeks believed that planet Earth sat on the shoulders of a giant, and they named that giant Atlas. The Hindus of India believed that Earth was supported by two enormous elephants, which stood on the shell of a turtle, which was swimming in a cosmic sea. Most people in the 14th century thought that the earth was completely flat. Sailors often refused to go on long voyages for fear of falling off the edge of the world. And then in 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered that the earth really was round after all when he sailed west and arrived in America. In Job 26, verse 7, we read, "God spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing." And in Jeremiah 10:12, he said, we see, God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Isaiah 40:22 says, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Psalm 147 verse 4 says, God determines the number of the stars, and he calls each of them by name. We see then that the Bible shows us that the earth is round and rotates in space simply by the power of God. Most people believe that evolution belongs to science, and biblical creation belongs to religion. But in reality, evolution is not a true science. I'll emphasize that. Evolution is not a true science. It's a hypothesis put forward by scientists speculating on what they think happened in the past. In fact, it is unprovable, it is unrepeatable, and it cannot be verified by modern day experiments in a science lab. Biblical creation tells us about how God made the world we live in. Evolutionists say everything occurred randomly, simply by chance, without an intelligence. And both models are different, and yet both models require a great deal of faith. Christians put their faith in the Bible. Evolutionists put their faith in their hypotheses. For example, they claim that the universe came about as a result of an explosion of hydrogen, methane, ammonia, and water, which went on to produce all of our 92 elements, which also went on to form compounds, which went on to form molecules, such as amino acids, DNA, RNA, proteins, sugars, and carbohydrates. Over a long period of time, the DNA, the RNA, proteins and compounds wrap themselves inside a membrane, eventually forming what we think is, or they think is, a single cell species with the ability to reproduce itself over time. But none of these hypotheses can be verified. Yet nearly every university in the world teaches this as being quite true. Single-celled species became multi-celled species. Multi-celled creatures became marine creatures with scales and fins. Marine creatures became land creatures. Creatures with scales and fins developed legs and became amphibians. Amphibians went from cold-blooded to warm-blooded. And scales actually turned into feathers, and webbed feet became clawed feet. Gills turned into lungs, arms turned into wings and a tail. From reptiles came the development of all kinds of mammals, primates, and finally to human beings, which they say was 50,000 years ago. But not one of these hypotheses can be proved. Neither has any valid evidence of such development been put forward for our scrutiny. Nothing. And yet the world is told that it is all true and all objectors are criticized or laughed at. The symmetry, the design, and the precision in our universe show us that everything could not have possibly come into existence merely by chance. The so-called Big Bang of hydrogen gas creating order out of chaos, could not possibly have happened. The production and development of sea and land creatures by means of random mixtures of chemicals without an intelligent force is absurd. Life simply cannot be produced from non-life. To create life requires more than 20 proteins, and the probability of forming just one of those proteins from a chance combination of amino acids in a primordial soup, well, it's 1 in 10 to the power of 40, which is similar to a tornado blowing through a junkyard and finishing up with a Boeing 727 aeroplane. It's so ridiculous. In other words, the formation of life through the random combination of chemicals in a violent atmosphere is simply not possible. Neither can it be verified in a laboratory. And to say that all the creatures in our world arose of their own doing and of their own development is untrue, unprovable, and illogical. Very few people believe in the flood of Noah's day. Some say that the Bible contains only myths and legends of the past. Others say that its stories are allegorical and spiritual and should not be taken literally. Well, the truth is that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, as we had in our first slide. The flood of Noah's day was literal and it was global. Both Jesus and the Apostle Peter referred to that flood. It was Noah's flood. Nearly all people in the ancient world do have a flood story. The details do vary a little, but most agree with the Bible. For example, the Chinese say that Fo He was told to build an ark for his family and all the animals and birds. The flood came, all the people were drowned, but Fo He survived. And he taught all the sciences of the world. And the Chinese character for a ship is 8 persons and an ark. Critics say that there wasn't enough water to cover the whole earth. Oh, wasn't there? We already know that 2/3 of the earth's surface is water. And that there is 18 times more water below sea level than there is above it. If the earth were to be flattened out, there would be 2,700 metres of water above our heads. If the ice at the north and south poles melted, the seas and the oceans would rise over 50 metres. For a global flood to take place, we would expect the following. 1, most of the world would be laid down by sedimentary rock, that's rock laid down by water. 2, stratification, which is layering of sedimentary rocks. 3, evidence of many well-preserved fossils that would be due to sudden burial. 4, remnants of marine life high up in the mountains. And 5, coal, oil, and gas deposits from rotting vegetation would be found below the ground. We now know that 80% of the world's land area is stratified sedimentary rock. We now know that stratification can happen in a matter of days, not over millions and millions of years. The stratified rock of Mount St. Helens was formed in several days. That was as a result of a volcanic eruption. That was in 1986. Most of the world's mountains contain thousands of well-preserved marine fossils. In the Maipo Valley in the Andes in South America, there are thousands of ammonite and other marine fossils embedded in rock for anyone to just see, literally see them. In the Montcalais mines near Autun in France, Tourists can see thousands of well-preserved fossils all embedded in the rock. All sorts of sea and land creatures remain there, including amphibians, animals, reptiles, scorpions, spiders, and insects. All of them had been suddenly and violently removed from their natural habitat and were thrown into the caves. Only a global flood could have possibly caused this catastrophe. At Agate Springs in Nebraska, there is a fossil graveyard containing thousands and thousands of animals. Fossils of camels, three-toed horses, rhinos, wild boars, birds, trees, seashells and fish can all be seen mixed up with one another. In the frozen regions of Siberia, Alaska and Canada, the frozen, well-preserved bodies of countless millions of animals have been discovered. In places, the ice is 270 meters thick. But powerful jets of steam have finally exposed the well-preserved bodies of all kinds of animals, some having grass still in their stomachs after all that time. And the nearest trees were 3,000 kilometers away. No, they were all drowned and frozen immediately. Only a global flood could have caused that. Scientists say that the world's coal, gas, and oil deposits took millions of years to form from rotting vegetation. Believers in a global flood say that our oil came from billions of marine fauna, which were caught up in trees, in silt, in rock, and which were compressed and buried under 1,200 meters of silt, where the heat and the pressure eventually ground their poor, fragile bodies into deposits of oil and deposits of gas. The settling tanks of Abadan in Iran consist of huge quantities of oil with fish scale and shark's teeth included amongst it. Scientists say that there was not enough vegetation to form coal in only 5,000 years. It takes 10 meters of vegetation to form 1 meter of coal. But it should be remembered that the pre-flood world was subtropical and full of lush vegetation. In the upheaval, fish, animals, plants, and trees by the million would have been torn up and buried in a very short space of time, easily accounting for the world's coal deposits to form. Many scientists and learned men who were critical of the Bible have been forced to change their minds in the light of the discoveries of recent times. Clay and stone tablets and pillars from Mesopotamia and Egypt confirm that the people and the events in the Bible did actually take place after all. Pictorial diagrams and symbols inscribed in soft clay recorded events and transactions which took place during the first 3,000 years of man's history. Hieroglyphics and cuneiform writing has been known for years, but we had not known what these meant until fairly recently. The Babylonian account of the Adam and Eve story was discovered by Dr. Spicer of Pennsylvania, 15 kilometers north of Nineveh. Dr. Spicer dated the stone seal at 3,500 BC. It depicts a naked man and a naked woman walking along, downcast, followed by a serpent. Also found in the same area was the temptation seal. That was carved on stone, and that depicted a fruit tree in the centre with a woman plucking fruit on one side and a serpent behind her as if talking to her. It too was dated at 3500 BC. It's now in the British Museum. Archaeologists have been digging throughout Egypt and Mesopotamia for 100 years, often uncovering over 15 levels of civilization from the same site. Each level had its own distinct character and culture. Just south of Babylon, there was a large mound thought to be the remains of the ancient Tower of Babel. Within its huge brick walls, a foundation stone was discovered, which describes how it was built and why it was never completed. It had risen to 20 meters in height and was built to the great god Marduk. Excavations at the city of Ur, where Abraham lived, revealed a huge flood deposit of sediment that was 2 meters thick. And artifacts and seals were found which showed that the people of Abraham's time were highly intelligent, they used smart business practices, and they worshipped many gods. The area at the southern end of the Dead Sea was occupied by the peoples of Sodom and of Gomorrah, who practiced violence and immoral behavior. That was in the time of Abraham and Lot. And although there is very little evidence of the event left, we know that God sent burning sulfur down upon them, because the Bible tells us. Archaeologists believe that the fires were ignited by tar pits in the area, and that salt spewed out from the ground, killing all the inhabitants instantly. And Lot's wife became a pillar of salt when she looked back at the extent of the destruction. Sir Flinders Petrie discovered the palace in Egypt where Joseph lived and where he greeted his brothers when they came to buy more corn. Amongst the ruins was a tablet dated at the 17th dynasty of Egyptian kings, describing a great famine which had occurred, and a man whom they called Baba in Egyptian, who collected large amounts of corn for distribution to others. The remains of huge grain houses were also found nearby. The Egyptian cities of Pithom and Ramses were built by the Hebrew slaves in the time of Moses. These also have been discovered. Ramses too was Pharaoh in Moses' time, and he was followed by Meneptah. A number of ancient bricks were found with the name Ramses II stamped on the bricks, and a statue was found nearby which contained the following: "I built Ramses with Hebrew slaves." The mummy of Ramses II lies in the Cairo Museum. He was a mighty builder in Egypt. He was ruthless with his slaves, and he ruled Egypt for 65 years. In fact, he even married his own two daughters. Giant building blocks were transported from quarries hundreds of kilometers away to build his cities for him. Meneptah was the next pharaoh at the time of the Exodus. Sir Flinders Petrie also discovered the stone tablet describing Meneptah's achievements. And on this stone are the words Canaan and Israel. And mention is made of Israel's seed disappearing from the land of Egypt. There is no mention of the Red Sea, where Egypt's army was soundly defeated and destroyed at Moses' command. Karnak and Thebes were two more cities which were built by the Hebrew slaves. These also have been discovered, including temples, monuments, and palaces. Queen Hatshepsut was the pharaoh's daughter, which is mentioned in Exodus chapter 2. The remains of two obelisks built in her honor were found, each of them 30 meters high and weighing 150 tons. They had come down the Nile in boats from a quarry 240 kilometers away. Another ancient city discovered by archaeologists was Jericho, In the time of Joshua, Jericho's walls were 9 meters high, 5 meters thick, and there were houses built at the top of the wall. The city had been burnt with fire, but amongst the rubble that they found were huge quantities of wheat, barley, dates and lentils, which were not even touched after the huge earthquake. Joshua's curse on that city still applies today, as modern Jericho has been built well to the southeast of the old ancient site. Edward Robinson discovered a tunnel which had been excavated between the city of Jerusalem and the Gihon Spring. It was 533 meters in length and provided fresh water to the community from the other side of the city wall. Inside the tunnel there is a plaque describing how the men were forced to dig in the time of King Hezekiah, when the Assyrians had surrounded the city with their army. And that was in 698 BC. Chapter 37 of Isaiah tells us that when both Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed for deliverance, an angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. And shortly after, King Sennacherib was murdered by his own two sons. Archaeologists have found the inscription describing the event in Assyrian history, and that is called the Taylor Prism. Luke tells us that at the time of our Lord's birth, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the entire Roman world should be taxed. Luke mentions Cyrenius as the governor of Syria. Archaeologists have discovered that Cyrenius was, in fact, the senator P.S. Quirinius, who led a military campaign against the hominid Denses in the Taurus Mountains. Bit hard to explain that one. And they had established his headquarters in Syria between 10 and 7 B.C. In 2007, archaeologists just discovered the sarcophagus and mausoleum of Herod the Great. It was near the top of Mount Herodium. King Herod was a wicked tyrant whose building exploits were magnificent. During his reign, the Jewish temple was built, but he spared no one who crossed him. The massacre of Bethlehem's innocent babies, his own sister's husbands, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his wife Marianne, and three of his sons were all brutally murdered at his command. In the 19th chapter of Acts, there is a riot in Ephesus. That was during Paul's third missionary journey. Most of the Ephesians worshipped Artemis, also called Diana. And when the silversmiths found out that the people were following Paul, they stirred up the whole city and forced Paul to move on. Archaeologists have found literally hundreds of these statues in the area, as well as the ruins of the temple. In 1947, inside caves near Qumran, near the Dead Sea, manuscripts were found, hidden in clay jars, which had not been touched for 2,000 years. These manuscripts were made from both leather and papyrus fragments. Archaeologists called them the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they dated back to the 1st century AD. Almost every book in the Old Testament was represented, as well as something of the history, the practices, and the hopes of the Essene community, which lived away from the main cities in our Lord's time, in order to escape corruption. What have I presented to you tonight? Well, I've endeavoured to show, one, that the universe did not come about by itself. It was designed and formed by the power of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Logos, as the Bible has described. Two, The theory of evolution is not supported by science or reason or logic. Chemical evolution did not and cannot take place. Life cannot be formed from non-life. One species cannot turn into another species. And evidence of design in creation proves that there must have been a master designer in creation. 3. Noah's flood did take place. It was global. It destroyed a wicked world and preserved man, animals, reptiles, and birds. Evidence of the flood is worldwide and indisputable. 4. Archaeology has proved that the people, the places, and the events in the Bible are absolutely correct, proving that God is not only wise, loving, just, and powerful, but is true to his written word as well. Let us then rejoice that he's given us eyes to see and ears to hear, so that we can go on through life refuting all our opposers. Amen.